Hello.
Hello!
Welcome to Movie Banter Podcast number 7.
Number 7. Oh, how the time flies.
7 long years.
This is the annual podcast.
Indeed.
If you're only joining us now, then don't worry, go back to 2001 and you can pick it up from there.
That's a lie. It's been 7 weeks. God, it feels like forever, but in a good way. But this is our Christmas podcast. It's now Christmas Eve.
No, it's actually Christmas Eve, because we're recording this
technically, it is now Christmas Eve. It's 1:30 a.m.
In the morning.
Just the start of Christmas Eve. We've had our house Christmas dinner. We're feeling very Christmassy. We've had a four-course?
Yes.
Four-course roast meal. We've had presents. We've had every Christmas song, I think, that's ever been recorded.
Yeah, you have an impressive selection.
On loop, pretty much.
including some that I really could have done without listening to.
Well, probably. You're probably right. There's a lot of cover versions. If you've never heard Cyndi Lauper covering Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, then you've A, never lived, and B, you're a lucky person.
Exactly. Seek it out, and then wonder why you bother.
Listen to it on iTunes for the 30-second clip, and if you get past 10 seconds, you're a better man than I. But yeah, we've had all that, and we've had readings. We've had Christmas readings.
Yeah.
Just to kill the Christmas spirit quite well.
No, that sounds slightly more somber than it really was.
No, it's all been all right, I suppose. We've had a couple of just little jokes and stuff, and we've had a bit of Dickens. We've been going quite classic. We've been quite...
Got to have your Dickens.
We've covered the full range.
Quite a full range. And so what else? How else would you enjoy a drunken Christmas Eve Christmas dinner than by recording a podcast at 1:30...
In the morning. Which is entirely unplanned. And you say drunken, I don't think none of us are particularly the worst for wear.
I'm on the port now.
Oh dear.
I've had sherry and about a bottle of wine and I'm now on the port. Yeah. So
sherry, red, white, mulled.
It mulled. Every yes. sort of wine you can imagine we've had,
food,
really.
Chocolate, cheese,
everything. It's all
chocolate and cheese.
Chocolate and cheese.
We've got an array in front of us. It's quite a feast, actually.
It really is.
A bacchanalian feast.
We're still going strong.
But in the meantime, we thought we would do a very quick, because we don't know when else this week we're going to do a podcast, really. So we thought I'd better do one at some point. So we should introduce ourselves. I'm Paul Carenza, hello.
I'm John Sands, hello.
I'm Jenny Masters, hello.
Hey!
That's almost your first official appearance.
Regular listeners will remember Jenny from about 2 or 3 weeks ago when she guested talking briefly about Changeling in a very feminist manner.
Oh, yes.
Couldn't help it, you know.
Yeah. But then also last week where she talked about people jumping off buildings and just keep their umbrellas shut.
Exactly.
It's kind of morbid, really.
It was quite morbid but funny.
Depends how tall the building is.
Yeah, well, either way.
Well, true. But yes, and so this is Jenny's first official full podcast appearance.
Exactly.
Because frankly, you know, she lives here and she's here.
Exactly.
So it'd be
yeah.
rude not to, really.
And also, you know, she's up and awake, and it would be rude of us, me and John, to just record a podcast exactly. while she's still here trying to enjoy a Christmas party. And we go,
please leave us alone with all the food.
Well, stuff you. We're going to record a podcast.
I cooked for you.
She did. Yeah. She cooked very well. So
you did us proud.
So I don't know what we're going to talk about, really, but movie banter, the idea is we talk about movies, really, because John here runs MovieMistakes.com, I run the MovieTimeline.com, and we both run RuinedEndings.com. Jenny, what movie websites do you run? What's your qualifications for being here?
I watch them.
You watch them.
I watch
Fair
them.
Enough. It's very, very hard to take Jenny serious at the moment because she has the glitteriest face I've ever seen on a human being.
I like it.
Well, no, fair enough. It's the nature of Christmas wrapping paper that's covered in glitter, and somehow it just seems to have spread itself entirely across Jenny's face.
I think it's bad luck to take glitter down off your face until the 6th of January, I think.
That is true. Well, it's
I
the
can't
nature
watch
of glitter.
Until
it's not,
then.
Well, yeah, it's only about 2 weeks away, and that's about your average.
And there's definitely a Gary Glitter joke somewhere, which we're going to avoid and plough on to avoid the explicit rating
that we
have so far avoided.
Even if we did, then last week I had to do quite a lot of judicious editing, partly to bring it down under the long, rambling hour plus that it was, and also to cut out large quantities of filth.
There was a lot of filth this week.
A few tangents. Although, having said that, if you want more filth, then because we're going the clean route, and understandably so, really, to appeal to a wider audience. But if you frankly want more filth, an explicit version of the movie banter late, or
drop us an email.
Then let the emails.
I'll drop them.
I should also, while I think of it, apologise to I can't remember his name. Someone from Singapore has sent us an email.
Hey.
But due to the bad planning of this podcast, I don't have it with me. So apologies if you are a listener from Singapore who sent us an email. You will be name checked, and the contents of your email will be dealt with next week.
But thanks, thank you for listening.
But thank you very much for emailing.
We should cover mentions of movies. given that we've so
far. That is true. It's been, what's the nature of Christmas? You get Christmas events to go to, shopping to do, and you have no time.
It's the nature of alcohol that we waffle on for 10 minutes without actually remembering to talk about films.
No, hang on, we do that in every podcast.
That's very true.
We've always been sober up until, we're fairly sober now.
Well, let me just say this. I've seen Twilight this week, the new vampire teen film.
Which I'm keen to see, as I
be impressed. I've seen the Twilight.
You are. Yeah. That makes you essentially a teenager.
I am a 15-year-old girl. According to my chat room status.
No. See, we're pushing that explicit level.
Okay, fair enough. No, okay, I'm not. But for the sake of an hour and a half in a cinema, I became a 15-year-old girl to watch the film Twilight. Because I hadn't realised that this is a big thing, Twilight. It's a big phenomenon.
But only, weirdly, for teenage girls or their mothers, apparently. I don't know why their mothers get in on the
I don't action, know what it is. A lot of mothers are reading it, apparently.
Is it a book, then?
It's a book series,
I think. Yes, it's a series. There have been at least two or three or four.
Yeah, I think it's four, at least. Okay. I think, actually. And it's teen vampire stuff, really.
But I love all that.
It's good. Well, see the film, you'd enjoy it.
Angst.
And the film's good. Yeah. This is a good thing to say. It's a good film, because the worry was that it's one of those franchises, you think, oh, okay, well, it's going to appeal to the kids, the youngers among us. But actually, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very entertaining bit of fare.
But don't the vampires in this, they can go out in sunlight without bursting into flames?
Well, technically, but it's filmed in the Pacific Northwest, in America, where, you know, in like Washington State, and we visited Washington State earlier in this season. And what's actually I found great about the film, having been there not too long ago, is that it looks like the area that it's talking about. It's grey. They've actually added a grey filter to make it look grayer,
over grey, and
they mention in the film that this vampire family can't go out in direct sunlight, and so whenever they have a very rare sunny day in Washington State, the vampire family just disappear and they just hide away, and that's it. For a long part of the film, actually, they don't mention their vampires, although I'm pretty sure everyone going to see it has seen the trailers and the posters and know it's a vampire film. So it's no big surprise when, ooh, they're suddenly vampires. Basically, new girl goes to a new school, new area, meets new friends, and goes, ooh, who are those cool kids over there? You know, the pale ones.
The pale ones, drinking blood.
Who look like vampires.
With the sharp teeth.
To be honest, it's the sort of people that even in the real world, you'd look at and go, they're probably vampires. So, I mean, there's a bit of a giveaway there. But the great thing is, I think it sets up a great series that I would actually look forward to seeing, in that there are good vampires, and there are bad vampires, and there are what they call vegetarian vampires. They refer to it in the film as vegetarian vampires, people who are vampires who don't eat humans or suck the blood of humans, but suck the blood of animals.
Right.
And those are vegetarians, in inverted commas.
The principle makes sense and opens up interesting storyline, but calling them vegetarian vampires just sounds a bit naff.
It is a bit, isn't it, really?
Because they're not vegetarian vampires. Your average vegetarian, I'm a vegetarian. I still drink animal blood.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm a vegetarian.
Well, you'd be laughing at the
health food shop. If they could, they would suck the blood of plants, but I think there's not many options available to them.
Suckers.
But I thought it was great. I felt old, I'll be honest. Lots of actors, you look up on the IMDb and go, God, they're born in 1992. But the main male lead is this guy who was in Harry Potter playing...
He's British, right?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Somebody.
He was
British,
playing
yeah.
Cedric Diggory.
That's right,
Who
Diggory.
Got killed at the end of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Ruin it for me,
I'm sorry. Well, you should have seen it about 4 years ago.
Well, there you go.
I think it was 4 years ago, actually.
I did, but I can't remember. They're all the same. Harry Potter films are all the same.
Actually, no, I don't know. I feel like I'm defending them just by default, because I feel I should probably just argue with you. But yes, they. I can see why if you haven't read the books, you don't really follow them, they can blend into each other. Yeah, so you're not a fan, really.
Well, I enjoy them while I'm watching them, but I never have a desire
amazing.
To watch them again.
They're very
comforting. Some of them, they've improved, I think. Especially Prisoner of Azkaban. I think that was directed by... can't remember his name. Who directed...
He's the Spanish fellow, isn't he?
Yes. Oh, I can't remember his name.
Alfonso de El Juarez.
No.
My name... Diego Montoya.
You killed my father. Prepare to die. No.
No. I don't know.
Is it Pedro Almodóvar?
It's not Pedro Almodóvar. He's a Spanish director, but it's not him.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. Alfonso Cuarón. That's
right. Yeah, I was right. I said Alfonso Cuarón.
Alfonso Cuarón, you prepare to die, you kill my mother.
After a brief check on the IMDb, which may be edited out, or may not, depending on how it sounded.
Prepare to die.
Yes. But yeah, that was where I think it picked up a bit in style and content.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not that the Chris Columbus ones were particularly bad. but I think they picked up a notch. Oh, you see, this is the problem of doing food eating, because Paul is trying
to eat
a cracker.
Eat a dry cracker.
And it's
going to
make
go
a
on,
slight
noise.
Just eat it.
Oh,
nice.
Nice.
I don't
so
know if that's
satisfying.
Going to get picked up. No, don't. Oh, please don't. Oh, no, that's almost
I'm
feeding
jealous
back.
Now.
Yeah, right, so no, yeah, the vampire. I like vampire films. I like the vampire mythology. I've a lot of time for Angel and Lost Boys and other classic vampire films. But if they don't stick to the traditional vampire ethos, then I lose interest.
I think this would change the tune, though. For example, the vampire family, they're in the school canteen, never eat, never drink. And this is noticed by people there. I mean, there's a nice bit where they actually...
Except there is actually a mistake in it, because you see one of them eating it on point, or chewing it.
You haven't seen the film.
No, I haven't, but...
It's been reported to you.
Visitors to my website.
One of your drones.
How dare you! Oh, you see, this is website rivalry.
Oh, there you are.
As opposed to your date-spotting nerds.
Exactly, yeah. Well, both of them.
One of my keen-eyed website visitors has noticed that in one of the opening shots, or one of the shots of the vampires in the canteen, you can see one of them chewing off the
But they pretend to eat.
Yeah,
because they're
eating
to try and
like
fit
a
in.
Baby
There was even a baby?
I don't know.
You can't get babies in
eating
high school
like
canteens.
A baby.
Believe me, I've tried.
There's a point where they play baseball. The nice vampire family play baseball together in a storm, because it's the only place they can play baseball, because they hit the ball so hard that they need a lightning strike thunderstorm thing to cover the sound of their baseball bat thud.
Right. So they have to time their bat.
That does sound really
perfectly.
Bad when I describe it,
it really
but
does.
It works in the film. It works great.
So they just have to time their pitches.
Hang on a minute. I'm the only one who's seen this. Why are you guys destroying it when you haven't even seen
because
it
you're
yet?
Making it sound rubbish.
It's good.
You've got vampires playing baseball in a storm.
I will tell you, the only thing that annoyed me about this film is the main lead, who you're Cedric Diggory, Malfoy, Draco, Potter.
Cedric Diggory. I can't remember the actor's name, but he's English.
Yeah, the Weasley.
Or possibly Scottish, I think.
The Harry Potter thing, who in the film, everyone, in the film he's the heartthrob.
Yes.
And whenever you see him on screen, it's like slow motion fade sort of thing.
He does have huge weird hair.
Well, the amazing thing about him is that, his forehead comes out ahead of his nose, and yet his quiff comes out ahead of his forehead, and his chin comes out ahead of his quiff. So it's got like an inverse.
I was going to say, you sure he just isn't leaning forward? But then his chin's out.
He does lean forward a lot. He's been told, make the most of your forehead, mate. So it's sort of like, in terms of, if this was a horse race, it would be nose in last, followed by forehead, quiff, and then chin finally.
Right.
He's kind of like it's an odd sort of inverse
he's an
face,
odd-looking love interest,
slash young Bruce
yes,
Forsyth.
But is it effective? Does it work? I mean,
well, the women in the film love him.
Yeah, but that's fiction.
I don't know if women in real life love him. Apparently they do. I mean, there's a big fan base for this film.
I heard that during a lot of premieres.
I don't know.
Lots of screaming.
They seem to love him.
Ladies.
But
vampires, I mean, if you take Gary Oldman in Dracula, he's not necessarily the most good-looking person in the world, but he was very charismatic and it did suit the role.
Yeah, no, I can see the charisma side. And not for me personally, but I know an ex of mine was a big fan of Gary Oldman, not just for looks, but just generally him as a whole massively appealed to her. Mm. But this guy, who's... We really should know his name. We're just criticising his looks.
I think Robin Pattinson, I believe his name.
Yes, that is right. That's it. That is his name. And you're saying that without even looking up on the IMDb.
There you go. You're impressed.
You're stealing my human IMDb credentials once again. But yeah, he doesn't seem like a massively good-looking... No disservice to him. I'm sure he's a perfectly normal-looking person, but I can't see him as a heartthrob.
But then again, the nice thing is about the film, it's not like every girl in the school falls over him. Sort of thing. It's the main character likes him, which is fine, because one person can like anybody else. So
no, that's
fine.
Very true.
And it works well for that. But what I do like about it is it does... obviously it's going to set it up for sequels, given there are sequel books out there. But I can see scope for it in that we're introduced to characters who look interesting. In that, for example, in the nice vampire family, they're all nice. They're the vegetarians, in inverted commas, who therefore don't drink human blood. But there's like one guy in it who's only recently converted from drinking human blood.
So may
and
fall
so
off the wagon.
Has a couple of moments of nearly... reaching towards the humans, but it's held back. And you're thinking, okay, well, this could be interesting in a film or two's time.
Yes.
That at some point he might crack. Equally, there's a female vampire in that family as well, who are the good vampires, who, again, is trained to not go after humans, but doesn't quite see why she has to. And so although she's not sort of trained in the same way as to think it must go away from the bad... But again, she's got an interesting side to her that she can rebel. You know, she's the rebellious one.
I can see that being an interesting plot.
There are lots of really good characters.
Vampire
really
culture.
Good characters there, yeah.
And you end up with, well, almost the plot of Blade 2, I think, or Blade, where you get the subculture within the vampires. The vampires have found their peace with the world. And then you get other vampires saying, but why should we have a peace? We should just control
everyone. Split them off. And it makes it more interesting. So
then at the same time, I'm just thinking, well, just watch Blade. It's less teenage angst and more fighting.
I didn't like Blade
really?
At all.
Yes. Well, in terms of, if you're looking for a vampire, admittedly it doesn't have the teenage heartthrob romance angle that teenage girls
or
are
the
after.
Good film angle.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a great film, but if you're looking for a bit of a vampire romp, then what's wrong with Blade?
I'd watch Twilight again happily. I would suck my own eyeballs out before I watch Blade, Blade 2, Blade Trinity, Blade Quadrilogy.
No, well, the thing is, like you were saying before, I mean, the genre knows itself. The fact is, it knows what it is, and it is a kind of very cheesy vampire blokey film.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, that's why Blade, I mean, and Blade 2 is actually better than Blade. Blade Trinity dropped off a lot. The vampire ethos fits that kind of film well, I think. Possibly better than a teenage angst-ridden lusting after a vampire. Oh, it won't quite work. I don't. I'm not sold on it. And I'll probably go and see it.
See it and have
I'm
a look.
It's
worth a look. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
No, fair enough.
And I'm not. I'm 29 and male. I hate to add.
You may have to hand those credentials in.
Maybe.
After.
But I'm going to have a Wednesday Dad and Cranberry.
That may be the first time that has ever come up in a film review.
Apart from the Wallace and Gromit review, of course.
Oh, well, of course.
Came out
quite
yes.
a lot. Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that on Christmas.
Gotta love it. We should. I think we've probably dwelt on that far too far.
No, that is true. But at the same time, it's the only film. I know. Have you seen something else as
well?
Well,
on TV, we saw. Actually, we saw Merry Christmas, didn't we?
Yes. Oh. Yes. I didn't see that much of it, but I think I saw the main section of it.
So this is a film that is about the Christmas Day.
It's the truce. Yeah, the First World War Christmas truce.
1914.
And it's a nice film because it's based. It's actually joint made by, I think it's French, German, and English, and American filmmaking people.
Okay.
So in fact, it's got equal bits in subtitles. So it's one of those films that's in subtitles, but not because it's made by a particular country and they think, well, let's put in some of these characters and then subtitle them.
Yes.
It's in that, you know, for French people, our bits are subtitled, and for German people, their bits, you know, our bits are subtitled, and so on.
Oh, nice.
So for us, their bits are subtitled.
I was glued to it, actually, for quite a little while. I should have been off doing other things, but I found myself caught up with it, on the edge of my seat, watching it. I did, however, stop at a certain point. I stopped just when the football match started, because I thought, well, it's not going to get any better than this.
True.
So I'm going to leave on a high point.
Because sooner or later, the football match finishes and they all go back to killing each other.
Well, I imagine, well, you know, the war went on for another 4 years. I don't know how much they cover in the film, but I left at that point.
The film does last 4 years and 1 hour and a half.
Really?
So in fact, so they do cover it quite in real time.
It'd be 1 hour 45, sure. You've got to allow for half time.
Half time as well.
They have oranges, because that was hard to do in.
Apples. Satsumas, I think they called. Yeah, just a little bit each.
Did that happen? Was it just the first year they did that, or was it almost a regular?
I think it only ever could have been the first year.
There's been a couple of others, but not as big as the first one. Right. I read about Wikipedia years ago because I was interested and lonely. they've been a few. They've tried to recapture it, but I think it's never quite worked in the same way, because it's generally been two sets of troops going, hey, it's Christmas Eve, let's do that football match like they did in the First World War. And everyone else goes, well, it's been done once, hasn't it? And they go, well. So a few of them do it, but it's never quite in the same way as the first time.
Right.
But, you know.
Cynical way, it would be far too easy to say, let's all play football. And as soon as one side pops their heads up, you kill them all.
Yeah, and then it's very underhand.
Exactly. Let's play bullet football.
Like at Mexico 1990 in the World Cup final.
Really?
Yeah.
That was quite harsh.
Yeah, yeah.
And well done for pulling out a footballing country and year.
Oh,
thanks.
I'm
lost
behind.
No, that's not even criticism, because I'm with you on that. Hmm. If my flatmate was here, he could probably tell us who was playing. Was Mexico actually 1990?
I think so.
Fair enough.
I'm going with it. I'm rolling with it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
This is movie banter, not football banter.
Well, that's very true. Yes, we're getting slightly sidetracked, but it's Christmas.
The frightening thing with this film, which was very clearly portrayed, was how everything was very local for a lot of the troops who were there. They actually, you know, the Germans and the French, they knew each other. They knew the districts from where each other came from, because they'd holidayed there, you know, the year before and things like that. And I don't know whether this is accurate or not, but when you see the troops coming out from the trenches, I mean, we're talking about 20 feet, 30 feet.
It's not far,
them.
Is it? No. strangely, eerily close, really.
Yeah, and I think it was very tenderly portrayed. That's why I couldn't leave.
I find it interesting to see the private of... No, that's going to sound really odd.
Oh, dear.
I did not mean it to sound that way.
There's no good end to that sentence, really. I'd almost say, we'll cut that out. But I'm not going to, because it's funny.
I was going
to
say...
It's my job to do the editing.
I was going
to
say, interesting to see the privates of the French, the Germans, and the Brits... all displayed. Oh dear. Okay.
Our clean rating plummeting.
Let me rephrase that.
Okay,
it was good to see the junior soldiers.
Right.
And the groins. Oh, no. No, what I meant was it was interesting to see the uniforms of the junior members of each of the nationalities sort of together, because you never see that in a film, because normally you've got any war film focuses on, you know, even if it focuses on two sides, it's that side for a few scenes, cuts to the other side.
Yeah.
They fight each other amidst smoke and bombs and guns, and you never see the two together. But in one frame of one film, you see French, German, and English all there together, and you see their... Just the fact the uniforms are there together and different...
Mm.
You know, it's quite rare to ever see that together, and it was just sort of nice.
Yeah.
Slightly ruined by an innuendo about the word private.
Well,
before we do anything else, Desert Island Flicks, we normally always
do. Oh, that's very true.
We haven't thought of this at all because we were
true.
Planning to have an evening of just drinking, eating and bantering, not on a podcast.
But we're here now.
But we are here now, yes, but that means... Well, it's normally my turn, but as you're here, it could be Desert Island... Ooh. Well, we can explain to you and to... Listen, Desert Island Flicks, it's Desert Island Discs is a radio show in the UK where celebrities get interviewed and essentially say, if you were trapped on a desert island, what records would you take? And so we have done the same thing once a week with a film of a particular genre. I think we've done action and musical.
So what are we on?
And
now?
Romantic comedy.
And animated.
And animated.
And musical. No, you said that.
I said musical. That can't be.
I think we've done about four, yeah.
No, maybe about it.
Oh, right. So it doesn't have to be genre. It could be also.
Sort of type of film.
A type of film.
Have we done Christmas film?
No, we haven't done that.
Okay.
It could also be a film directed by a certain person or starring a certain person or with a keyword in the title or on a theme. It could be anything. A film of any sort.
Okay, so go on then.
We haven't got one.
So you need to pick one.
We normally
pick a genre, pick a style.
Since, you know, Christmas is a time for families and, I don't know, nostalgia, can we pick maybe a film that we love from our childhood? How about that?
That's good.
Yeah,
that is good.
A childhood favourite.
Just Star Wars.
No, that wasn't the one I was going to think, but it's slightly weird. The film, because the film that immediately occurred to me probably isn't the best option, but my brain works with
it. Is it Nightmare on Elm Street?
No, actually, but...
Did you have a sick... Whatever it is, you had a sick childhood, didn't you? Whatever it is.
No, not at all, but...
Something went horribly wrong in the years of John Sands between the years of 1 and 18.
Well, yes and no. Well, okay, in terms of films that are associated with my youth, to a degree, because when I was very young, I can't really think of films that related. There are actually two. One is RoboCop, which is slightly odd.
Your parents really looked after you, didn't they? They looked after you at every stage.
Because they knew that I was a child that could handle watching an 18-rated film when I was quite
when you
young.
Were 3?
11, but that's beside the point. Okay. But it was on video at my cousin's house. It's fine, it did me no lasting damage, except for all of my numerous personal problems.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it was on video, and it was UK videos in the 80s, so it was all edited anyway. So it was vastly cut down.
Right.
But I have a very strong memory of sitting with my cousins up in Scotland watching RoboCop. And I still love RoboCop now, and it's stuck with me as a classic 80s film. And also fits into my 1987 theory that I mentioned the other week. The other film, weirdly, is The Hunter in October, which, again, is not really a classic childhood family film.
Were you ever a child?
No, not really. I went straight into not adult films, just older films than I was. No, but Hunt for Red October is going from probably my teens onwards.
I'm such a big kid. It's terrible.
Purely because it was back in the day of VHS recording films off TV. And, I was still young, so I didn't have money to go out and buy lots of videos. Mm. But I'd recorded The Hunt for Red October off TV at some point. And whenever, if there was nothing on TV and I wanted to put a video on, I didn't have that many to choose from. And so I'd often put on The Hunt for Red October just as some background viewing if I was doing something else. And so as a result, I know The Hunt for October ridiculously well, and it's embedded itself into my consciousness.
It's funny you say that, because actually one of my favourite films from growing up was actually Ghostbusters.
Nah, well, it's a classic.
Well, yes, but also it was the first ever video that we recorded.
I see.
And so, illegal.
Well, TV. Off it's TV, not illegal.
It is illegal.
No, because you're meant to delete it after 6 months. If you keep,
yeah, 6 months. That's
six
limit,
months.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but we had it for 10 years.
Oh. 10 years.
They'll find you. They'll find you and kill you. The government can still not legally anymore. Do that.
The last VHS.
I don't have it anymore.
The last VHS supplier in America.
Like the government are listening.
apparently today or recently or after Christmas, the last major VHS supplier in the US is shutting down.
Really?
VHS tapes. I mean, they've been pretty much dead for a while, but I think before too long you won't actually even be able to buy them anymore because no one's making them anymore.
I like the fact that during that last sentence there was a slight burp in your voice.
Really?
Yeah, just a little bit of a burp. I'm sure if you listen back,
I'm going to ignore that.
If you're listening on this iPod,
charming.
If you're listening on an iPod or an MP3 player, just rewind it a little bit. Just
he claims he
see if you
burp.
Can detect the little bit of a burp in John's voice there.
Well, that's just charming. I apologise. Yeah. If that is true, I didn't even notice it myself, but I apologise.
But it proves it's Christmas.
Well, yes. And also, frankly, given your history in that regard, then
I've never burped on a podcast.
Yeah, give it. Yeah, but in any other possible,
there is no evidence of me ever burping ever.
Yeah, give it time. Keep this going long enough; it'll
yeah,
come up.
I'm sure it will.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, so Paul, you're
sorry about that.
That may not even have been picked up.
I've lowered the tone now.
You really, really, really have.
Yeah. And the atmosphere, and the temperature, and the health status of the room.
Health and safety are going to kick the doors in. Anyway, so your
childhood thing, well, it's not quite as family-friendly or as lovable as RoboCop or Hunt for Red October or these wonderful glory years of our youth that we all remember from the golden age of Hollywood.
To some degree. Yeah. But it's scary.
Wasn't the only one, anyway.
I'm going to go for Wizard of Oz. Because
you grew up in the 30s, apparently.
Because it's a wonderful because it's a wonderful family film that isn't about a nuclear submarine.
The question wasn't family films, it was films of our youth.
That shaped your childhood in some deformed, weird way.
Well, yes. I started reading Tom Clancy books when I was about 10.
Well, clearly.
But on that note, I mean, of our generation, the Wizard of Oz film is actually Return to Oz. So how do you feel about that one? Because, you know, the Wizard of Oz was how many years
Return
before?
To Oz I saw about twice when I was a kid because it scared me.
Yes.
Too much. The electrolysis scene. Was at the very start was too much for me.
See, I don't know this film at all.
Yes, it was.
Electrocution.
Electrolysis is someone having hair removal.
Oh, is it? Okay.
With the lion just thinking, I've got to groom myself up. I'm going to get myself stripped down.
Is that right? Is that really?
Yes. Electrolysis is
hair
removal.
Have I used that word wrong all these years? Oh, dear.
Have you been having
electrolysis? Is that not a bad thing? I thought that was evil and
it's
horrible.
It's a good thing.
It's apparently quite painful. I've not had it.
Really?
On what her tashes
so
like.
So when Dorothy was having electrolysis therapy, it just meant she was becoming a woman.
Well, yeah, pubescent girls are very sensitive about such things.
Oh, that makes me think it was all innocent and that. No wonder she was scared. You know, yeah. I know coming of age is very frightening for a lot of women. Anyway.
You have to pay for that.
I did over several years of my youth. But no, whatever the scene was.
Is it electric shock therapy?
Yes,
that's
no,
the fella. Electric shock therapy.
It's more real, though, in a way, isn't it, actually, that the second film? It's...
I've not seen it, so I can't talk. I think really? I read the book many years ago. Was there a
It's got the wheelies.
Follow-up?
I remember it got the wheelies in it.
They're so 80s, and they're like silver makeup.
And TikTok with the clock and stuff. It was
TikTok
quite...
was a good character.
With who was the lead? Farooza Balk. Farooza Balk.
I know the name.
She was in The Craft as a woman.
Oh, yes.
When electrolysis would have been more relevant for her. But no, for me, anyway, Return of Oz to one side for a second, Wizard of Oz was my probably childhood making film. Actually, my brother was the big fan of it. I know as a kid, and he doesn't even remember this now, so it must have been very young for him, that whenever anyone babysat for him, he would insist that was played on loop.
Oh.
And it would finish, and they would say, time for bed, and he would go, no, rewind, start again. In a kind of apparently a quite threatening, scary, Shining-esque sort of way. Start again. You know, all Wizard of Oz and no play makes Mark a very dull boy. So it went on and on. But, you know, I liked it in a normal way. So, I thought it was a fine movie. And that's probably my childhood
Fair enough.
Thing.
And also
yeah.
one that has avoided... Because, I mean, not that it should be remade, but we still need to get into the whole remake sequels
yes.
argument. But The Wizard of Oz, I would have thought someone would have tried to remake it as a big screen film.
Oh, you can't
remake
that.
No, I'm not saying they should, but given the number of films that are remade, some films are remade 10 years
But they
years
don't
later.
Remake the big classics, though. No one has ever remade Wizard of Oz, Casablanca, Great Escape...
Godfather.
Godfather, Citizen Kane, you don't do it. No, you can touch the next grade down, but you don't touch the top stuff.
No, that's a very good point. I'm not that surprised.
Because Wizard of Oz was a remake in itself. That was about the third remake, fourth remake. Because Laurel and Hardy did it about 10 years before that. And about 10 years before that, there was a silent version. They did. Laurel and Hardy's Wizard of Oz predates the Wizard of Oz that we all know and love by about 10 years, yeah.
Actually, didn't the Muppets do The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, much after. Yes, a long way after.
And that doesn't count as a remake, of course, but no, I'm just...
I suppose technically it is, in a weird way, but I can't imagine them thinking, we can do better.
Yes, we can.
Piggy, Gonzo, who's with me? Come on! We'll take on Garland.
Oh, well, sorry, but Labyrinth, I know that it's kind of like on the same lines as Twilight that you were talking
about. Twilight.
That's just the teenage angsty fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I love Labyrinth, and I recently used to... did a bit of babysitting, and I brought Labyrinth as sort of a preoccupation for the kids at the time. And it is a brilliant film. Is it Terry Jones who directed it?
Is it?
Yeah,
is it?
I think it is.
Is it really?
David Bowie in tights, but it's a kind of creepy if you look at it from an adult's point of view. I mean, it's the
Was
Goblin
it not
King.
Creepy from a child's point of view as well?
It was just mystical. It had musical numbers and dancing in it as well, and fairies.
You don't get that in kids' films now. Not in sort of...
Jim Henson.
Ah, fair enough.
But who wrote it?
Jim Henson.
And Dennis Lee.
And Dennis Lee.
I don't know who Dennis Lee is.
And Moore. Do we find out who Moore is?
I don't think it's Terry Jones.
Sure, there was.
Oh, Terry Jones!
Yes! All right! Thank you.
Fair enough.
Yes, Terry Jones did write it. Okay. So the other two came up with the story and he actually wrote it. Ah, fair enough.
Terry Jones was head boy at our school in the 60s.
That is very true.
Bit of trivia. There you go. Carry on, as you were.
Yeah. But just saying that it's kind of creepy about the whole Goblin King abducting this juvenile.
Played by Jennifer Connelly. Probably one of her first films.
It was her first thing, and she wasn't trained in any way, but she was just so damn good that she was there.
Fair enough.
But no, that's a great film from my youth, and it's left quite a strong impression. And it's kind of weird to kind of think about what films these days have that kind of impression on kids. I think Harry Potter, maybe, you know, that sequence maybe one
and yet,
of them.
Which is a shame, because they're not nearly as inventive. But then, this is the point that made, I mean, regardless of the 87-84 battle, this is what we're wondering about.
What year was Labyrinth?
86.
It's in between.
This is what started it. Is saying that because regardless of the merits of either year, these are the films that formed our youth to a degree. Whether they were older films or younger films, we watched them a lot growing up, and we knew them well, and they've embedded into our brains as classic 80s films that we love. But for younger generations, we don't know what films have that significance, and we may view them as good films or bad films, but we don't have the same perspective on them that younger people do, because we're old and haggard.
Haggard.
Not you, of course. You're still young and youthful and gorgeous. Whereas Paul and I are old and haggard.
Old and haggard.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's a morbid note.
Yeah.
But it's a shame, because it means certain films you lose. You can still admire them for being good films, but you lose the sense of awe that came with them, because we're now just a bit jaded.
It brings us back to Twilight, because with Twilight, Harry Potter was a phenomenon I was aware of. Twilight, I haven't even heard of this thing.
Yeah.
I feel old. That it's now reached a film status, and 15-year-olds are talking about this like it's the only thing to talk about.
Yeah.
And I've no idea about it.
Is it because it's an American thing? I don't know. I mean, I've got no idea.
I think it's more American rather than global, whereas Harry Potter was relatively global, I think.
The director of Twilight, Catherine Hardwick. You know a bit of trivia about that, don't you? She's the top grossing female director.
She's the highest grossing female director of all time.
Yes.
Which I think, did we mention this couple
of years ago? We did mention it before, actually. But also, do you know what her previous film was that she directed?
I do, because I've read it, but I can't think what it is now.
I think
off the top
I
of my head.
Might, but I can't remember right
it's,
now.
It's The Nativity Story.
Oh, really? Okay.
So she's gone from the baby Jesus to teenage vampires, which is a natural progression, obviously. Much as John the Evangelist did back in the first century AD. He went from John's Gospel to teenage vampires, and then, it wasn't in the Bible. But
one of the Apocrypha.
They sort of met in the middle, and he did Revelation, which is sort of halfway between the two.
And I don't know whether films that we don't have the same awe of, I don't know if it's just because we're now, sort of a film really appeals to 15-year-olds, and we're now too old to appreciate that, which is fair enough. Or is it just that the nature of getting older is that you're a bit more jaded? Because are there films around that really, I suppose, off the top of my head, 20-somethings, or 20-something women anyway, Bridget Jones probably kind of hit.
A nerve?
Well, yeah, no, that's no. I mean, that is seriously, I mean that seriously. In the,
fifteen-year-old
girls probably, I mean, they could probably watch Bridget Jones, but it wouldn't necessarily appeal to them as much as mid-20-year-old women who can relate to it a lot more.
I don't know. You've got to be a bit careful of saying, "Oh, they don't make them like they used to." And you go, "No, they don't." That's probably
well. Tell us,
thing, but
tell us, listeners, what do they make that aren't like they used to? What are you? Oh, I don't know. Tell me some films.
But actually, there were films back in the day that now someone would look at that and say they don't make them like they used to. Are you trying to say, are there films now that people think, yes, they do still make them like they used to, this is a film that is a massive significance
I want to know, the film, yeah,
me.
The films of the last 10, 15 years, like, you know, this mysterious enigmatic email we've apparently had from somebody that we can't talk about.
I didn't forward it onto you.
I'd like to know, what are the films that they have made that are like they used to, that we are there thinking they don't make them like they used to, but actually they do.
How about the ones that they're trying to make like they used to, like the new Indiana Jones film?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, which very much wasn't
like
they used to.
No, you didn't. Get out. Out now.
No, I just didn't like the dodgy CGI and those annoying beaver creatures.
But also, I think the important factor, because I quite liked it, but the important word there is
hated it with a passion.
No, I liked it about 90%, though to be honest, it was very hard for any new Indiana Jones to live up to the glory that was the old trilogy.
But again, that's also, it's probably part of the nature of modern films. You need a degree of perspective for a film to become viewed as great, because when you just watch it for the first time, you can't really tell. I mean, you may think a film was great.
It's not a great film. It'll never be a great film.
No, I'm not.
But it had
Indiana Jones,
what you wanted
films.
From a good Indiana Jones film, and the fact that it was set in the
1900s.
Yeah, okay.
It still ticked some of the boxes, but it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't as good as the original three.
But what I liked about the Indiana Jones film is that it was set a little bit later than the others, in the '50s, when that kind of like sci-fi interest for kids really
but
sparks.
You can't bringing aliens.
You can't like a film for just when it's set, though. Surely it's how you deal with it.
No. But I'm just saying that it was quite clever that they. I mean,
well, no, it wasn't that clever though, because essentially, because Harrison Ford had
to age.
Older. Yeah, they couldn't have kept him the same age.
Not
so they
him,
had to
not him.
It.
The subject matter, because in during the war, the kids' films, the kids' books and adventure stories were what Indiana Jones was about, and just shifting it by another 7 years, they reflected it in a similar way.
No, I can see your point, and I can see that I'd agree that it was clever, but I also would say it was too clever for its own good. Because I can see what they did, and it made sense to do it, but at the same time it meant that Indiana Jones was no longer going after 30s-era artifacts, and instead you had aliens with crystal skulls, and it just shifted the whole tone of the film.
Yeah,
into territory that Indiana Jones doesn't really belong in.
The previous films have already been done, and they've been done very well. There's no point
trying. Why make a new one, except to churn out a lot of money and disappoint people?
Well, it was different, though. It's a similar style. I mean, it's like The Mummy. The Mummy filled the gap that Indiana Jones left, those films.
Yeah. And it wasn't as good as Indiana Jones, but at least it was its own thing. Whereas Indiana Jones, I've now gone, I realise, from saying, no, I quite like the new one, to now slagging it off.
Good.
That's kind of telling.
Join me!
Well, yeah, I think that's telling.
I would give it a very good 7.5 out of 10.
No, I wouldn't. I'd give it 6.
5.
Really?
4.5.
I'd watch it. I didn't hate it.
I quite
the
enjoyed.
Annoyed me.
The fight on the jeeps I quite enjoyed.
Yes.
And a little bit with the motorbike skidding into the library. But certainly, and also the big, aliens, big letdown at the end. Big
And the big long punch-up in the Circle of Fire Ants, I quite liked.
Because
that was just, it was a proper old-school slugfest between, essentially, two men, one of whom was aware that he was knocking on a bit and didn't do it quite as well. And it was realistic in that way. But, I mean, there is not a lot to like. There are definitely things to like in it. It was all just a bit, not, I don't want to say quite half-hearted. But
7.5. It's a good 7.5.
It felt they were coasting. They were definitely coasting.
Yeah, I think so.
Spielberg can do better. Lucas can do better. Yeah. They didn't.
I do get the feeling in interviews and similar that Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg were kind of hampered by George Lucas a bit. Because there was a script floating around by, I think,
Frank Darabont. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Which is apparently phenomenal and far more interesting.
Yeah.
And everyone was on board George Lucas.
We met a guy in America.
Very true.
A guy that I know who's a screenwriter of his own. He does short films. But he's in the Hollywood community, lives in Burbank, near Hollywood. And, yeah, he's got a copy of the script from Frank Darabont.
Because he was going to email it to us, and he didn't.
We must chase him up.
Yes, do chase him up.
We'll get a copy.
Yeah, because he's got a signed photo of him and Frank Darabont. Thank you for many years of friendship.
This is a guy who we met who actually, he directed a Stephen King film, didn't he, years ago, a short film. And Frank Darabont, he's met him a few times, and he says the Frank Darabont script is brilliant, and I hear that it is.
Yeah.
But it never happened. George Lucas
thought it didn't have enough aliens. So one of great lost scripts to cinema.
We haven't done the Radio Times review of the week yet.
Oh, for goodness sake, it's going to end up being a 4-hour marathon, isn't it?
Well,
buckle in, people.
Let's have a very quick look.
Which days are we going for?
We'll do this in 3 minutes, okay?
Did we go on to Boxing Day last time?
We did. I've cut ahead. I've looked at Saturday and Sunday. It's rubbish.
Right.
So on the weekend, just go out or something, you know, just sleep.
Eat the leftovers.
Monday 29th, Superman Returns, premiere on BBC One, Monday night. Monday 29th, 4 stars. I never saw it, but I might see it this time.
I've not seen it.
Watch it on TV. Don't spend money. It's a little bit like the Indiana Jones film. In that, yes, there's stuff to like. It's Superman. It's kind of interesting. But it's also a little bit soulless. And frankly, Brandon Routh is a little bit bland.
That's why I didn't want to see it. The trailer looked awful.
Because I'm a big fan of Smallville. Lois Lane in Smallville is your typical, what Lois Lane should be, much like Terry Hatcher in The New Adventures of Superman back in the day. Well, say back in the day, about 10 years ago. In that she's this sort of feisty, go-getting character. And in Superman Returns, Kate Bosworth as Lois Lane is just a bit wet, and she's a bit dour and a bit... And that's not what Lois Lane is meant to be.
Laborious.
Yes. Mm. And Lois Lane is meant to be this feisty, go-getting reporter type. And, yeah, it's just not quite the same.
You've also got Suspicion from Hitchcock on that afternoon, that morning, in fact, on Monday. And then also Notorious... which is on
suits you.
Thank you. Which is on 11:40 in the morning. Muppet Treasure Island, which stars Kevin Bishop as the child. Do you know that?
Yeah, I did actually.
Kevin Bishop off of the Kevin Bishop Show. Tuesday the 30th. Hallam Foe. Apparently, I've heard this. All right, 4 stars. That's all right, isn't it?
Never heard of it.
Carry On Cowboy. War Games. Oh, I love War Games. Is great.
What year was that made? Was that 83.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew Broderick. Bring it on. War Games. That's a brilliant film. Watch that one.
They're remaking that, I think. Or doing a sequel.
So it was about time, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Deep Impact? Maybe.
Although, ties into earlier comment, because Deep Impact previously held the record for the highest grossing opening by a female director.
New Year's Eve. What would you want to see on New Year's Eve? Carry On. Are they doing all the Carry On films?
I think they do all the Carry On films. You're not going to be leaving the house. You're just going to be watching them.
Babe.
Classic talking pig.
Lovely film.
How can you go when you've just cooked us roast pork?
Not piglet.
Babe was yummy.
I bet it was talking ones.
I enjoyed
Babe.
I'll
be delicious.
Yeah, I regret it now.
No, honest. You don't.
No, I don't.
But do it again.
New Year's Eve.
Softy.
12:10. Rush back from your New Year's Eve celebrations. 12:10, Channel 4, Airplane until 1:50 a.m. You will not be disappointed.
You really won't.
It will be a very, very happy New Year.
I sincerely hope that everyone listening to this has seen Airplane. Although, I think of it, I've not seen it in a very long time. And it's just brilliant. There are so... See, films... Because when you mentioned Top Secret earlier, there are... Which is kind of the unknown Zucker film. Because you've got Alien, you've got...
Top Secret's
you've got
great.
Airplane, you've got
really
Lady
good
Gun.
Film, Top Secret.
Yes, but Top Secret is in between the two, and it just doesn't seem to be as well known, despite being equally as good. But those spoofs don't get made anymore. But in terms of films, they don't make them like they used to be.
Yeah. Well, it's
the scary movie, epic movie, it's given them a bad name. No one dares to.
Airplane is a very targeted spoof. It's apparently, I've not seen it. What's the...
Airport 77, Airport.
Yeah, well, it's... but there's a film called... I can't remember the name of the film. But there is a film which it's almost a direct copy of.
Oh, yeah.
It's Airport, generally. But this film covers someone who has to... You know, it's a pilot who has to take over. Yeah. And they even use chunks of dialogue from this film. Because it's so ridiculous. But it's a very targeted spoof, and so it works well. And like Hot Shots was very targeted to Top Gun, and Top Secret is a bit more scattergun, but it still works. And then you get the epic movie, date movie, which should just say, oh,
they've
look,
got it all wrong.
We're going to do a version of these films.
Britney Spears got no air.
No jokes. Someone should go back to making proper, well-targeted, properly written spoofs. There you go, that's my take.
On that bombshell...
Met to deafening silence.
At 1 hour, 3 minutes, we've got to stop talking, because...
Well, yes.
We've waffled on far too long. Please edit this down.
Well, I will, although frankly there's been less filth this time, so there's less to exercise.
But less, just get rid of unentertaining stuff.
No, okay.
Or un-movie-based stuff.
Okay, so
been
enjoy this two-minute-long podcast.
Please do, because we can't... His last one was far too long.
Oh, yes.
So we'll cut this down.
It was about half an hour ago where we said, well, it's up to half an hour, we've nearly finished, and somehow we've managed to fill time again.
Although it says, I just said it's 1 hour, 2 minutes, it's not really, because for you listening, it'll be like, oh, it's only 20 minutes, what's going on? You know.
Stop waffling and wrap it up.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
Enjoy.
We will hopefully be back.
We'll do another. Exactly. So I'll stop there because we've got New Year's Day we could talk about, but we'll do that next time because we'll be hopefully back in touch before New Year.
Yes.
But enjoy. I hope you've enjoyed the rumblings of John's stomach that have been going on throughout episode. But it goes to show he's still hungry after all this.
It's reaction to good food.
Clearly. We were going to watch a nice Christmassy film after the end of our night.
But I can say full well that's not going to happen because Jen is going to fall asleep.
Well, it's not. It's 12.
It's
only half two. It's now half two on a Tuesday night. But I do this online DVD rental thingy, right? I won't mention the name of the company because... I'll mention the name of the company when they pay us sponsorship money. But until that day, they remain nameless. But today they've sent me the most un-Christmassy film I think I've ever known, which is the film Teeth, which if you don't know it, look it up. I won't tell you exactly what it is, but it involves...
No, just let them look it up and discover it.
Dentistry in a place you would not expect to find it.
Like the back of a Volkswagen?
Yeah. And depends what you're doing in the back of a Volkswagen. But it's incidentally, because I did notice in the Radio Times that on Saturday, this Saturday coming, the film Tooth is on, which is a nice family film about the tooth fairy.
Ah, I see.
Teeth is not a sequel to that. I really want to point out. Teeth is an 18, a horror film, and in no way a sequel to Tooth. So feel free to watch Tooth if you have kids. Feel free to watch Teeth if you are slightly deranged in the head, like we are.
Yeah.
So we're going to go and watch that, or not. And we'll wish you Merry Christmas, really.
Merry Christmas, and we will see you next week.
Till then.
Farewell.
Fare you well.